Well, all right, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us, shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and we've received that. We thank you for that. Now we can open up your word confidently. And we can learn from you. Jesus said to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me get over there. We've been studying on faith. And these notes that I've compiled here are some notes that I stumbled onto when I was at the lowest. I crashed and burned. And I had to get it. If I was going to live, I had to learn it. Amen? Sometimes those are the lessons that stick with you the most. You know, but Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. It'd help if I wasn't in 27. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 20 says, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible. You should take your favorite crayon and circle this last sentence right there. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. This is Jesus saying that. He said nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now go down to verse 27. It says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook, take up the fish that first come up, and the fish that first cometh up, when thou hast opened its mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Well, see, these guys had showed up and they were quizzing Jesus and they said, what about this tax? He said, does this money go to you or go to them? And Jesus said, whose picture is on it? They said, well, Caesar's. I said, then give it to Caesar. So they were in a bind, but they owed some money. And Jesus said a peculiar thing. He said, go fishing. This is Jesus talking here. He said, right there in verse 20, he said a simple, complete answer. When he said, because. When he said, because. This is the reason. It's still the reason for failure to cast out demons, for unanswered prayer. Prayers of any kind, God promises answers to all alike on the condition one is in Christ and doubts not. If you have faith, it will be done whatever you say, but if you do not have faith, it will not be done. Faith, pure and unmixed with doubt, as a grain of mustard seed, can even move a literal mountain. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing that is promised by God's word or that is good for his children is impossible to you. Literally. And here's the thing. You have faith. See, even people that aren't born again yet, God gives them the measure of faith enough to get born again. Amen? And then as a believer, he gives you faith. And then we as believers are expected to feed on His Word, you know, whether we hear it or read it, whatever it is, the Word is the source of faith. So when you feed on His Word and you behold Jesus and you learn from Him, faith is going to happen. Faith is going to happen. Too often, we may find ourselves comparing ourselves to somebody else. You know, well, I don't have the kind of faith that guy has. Well, you do too. You do too. He gave you the God kind of faith. He gave you the God kind of faith. The biggest problem is you're just not pulling the trigger. A lot of people just won't pull the trigger, or they won't believe. You know, we had Oop Schoner here, and one of the coolest stories I ever heard was him. He bought a farm, and there was a great big sand dune back behind his house, a big one, like a couple hundred yards. And it was tall, and they called it Oop's Mountain. You just got to know Oop. He wore these overalls all over the place, and he's a big man, and a horse man. Well, he didn't like that mountain there. He didn't like that sand there. So he took his kids, him and his kids, went up on Oop's Mountain, and they joined hands, and he said, God, He told us whatever we agree to as touching anything in Your name, it shall be done unto us. I don't like this mountain here. I want a farm right here. I want this mountain moved. And he said, mountain, you be gone in the name of Jesus. They walked down off Oop's Mountain, went home, ate supper, went to bed, got up the next morning, and Oop's Mountain was gone. Gone. Literally moved a mountain. Nothing shall be impossible to you. You take up the name of Jesus and operate in simple faith, big things happen. You don't have to be a hot rod. You don't have to wait for a burning bush experience. You don't have to wait for God to anoint you with some, you know, there's people running around waiting for a double portion anointing of Elisha's anointing. Why do you want that wore out old thing? The only anointing you have any business getting involved with is the Holy Ghost anointing, and that's much better than any Old Testament prophet that ever had. You just need to pull the trigger. I like what my pastor always used to say. He said, just pull the trigger. God can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. He just needs somebody to pull the trigger. How do we do that? Find something that needs fixed, something that's wrong, and go out there and address it in the name of Jesus. You know, there's sick people running around all over the place. There's lost people running around all over the place. You know, you can talk to your plants. You can talk to your animals. You can bless your animals. You can bless your plants. You know, this thing right here was about as dead as it could get, and we just prayed over it. We agreed in the name of Jesus, and there's new leaves popping up in there. You can do that. And you don't have to do anything fancy. Just do it. Nothing that is promised by God's Word or that is good for His children shall be impossible to you. Look down here to verse 27. It says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, take up fish, that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, give unto them for me and thee. That piece of money was about 64 cents. Evidently, they didn't have the IRS yet. But it was enough for both Jesus and Peter to pay the tax. This is a notable miracle. If the money was in the fish, it took a miracle to know it was there. If it was not in the fish, it took a miracle to get the fish to go get the money and bring it to Peter. Either way, it's a miracle. Jesus here, he shows us another example of material supply. Nothing is impossible to the believer. Here is one of the most common traps I see people get into. I actually had a lady say this in church one time. That was God. That was Jesus. Yes, Jesus. A flesh and blood man on this earth that was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Our example. He never did have to be born again. But we have to be born again. But he was a righteous man. When we get born again, we get to be righteous men. And then as righteous men, we go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Once we get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then we have the same authority to operate the same way Jesus did. This drives religious people crazy. Some of them get plumb rabid. And the ones that get the most vicious about it have the hardest time on the mission field I've ever seen anybody have. It's torture to them. And they'll give up and they'll come home. And they'll beg for money so they can go back again. And then they'll talk about how hard it is. How much work it is. How treacherous it is. It's like, man, you really need to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost because he'll make that line out for you. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that there won't be persecutions, because there is. In some of the stories you read, one time I read this story about this guy. He was out in the mission field. He's in a jungle. These headhunters started chasing him. He's running through the jungle. And they caught him. They tied him into a tree. And they were getting ready to do their thing. They were out there dancing around, getting ready to do their thing. And he just started praying in tongues. What else are you going to do? Started praying in tongues. And all these guys got born again. Put their spirits down. Got born again. See why it's important to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What was really cool is they had a big outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And one, come on in, y'all, you're fine. They had a big outpouring of the Holy Spirit in one area. And these guys would get somebody, and they'd say, okay, you start speaking in tongues. And he'd start speaking in tongues. And they'd say, well, that sounds like this dialect over here. So they just put them on a plane and send them. And they go over there and start getting people born again. See how important it is to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit so you can operate in this kingdom the way God has designed you to. Amen? Now look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Jesus again said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Verse 18, We have to look at this squarely and ask yourself some questions about this binding and loosing. Because there's really some cuckoos. There's some people flying around in jets trying to bind stuff up in heaven. What really needs to be bound up in heaven? There's no enemies in heaven. The devil's not in heaven. You've been promised power to bind on earth and bind in heaven. But what are we binding? Look over to Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Sometimes you just got to look these things square. Study them out. Find out what's going on. Verse 19 says, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So keys are a symbol of authority. Here they mean authority and power to do the works of Christ. But why do we bind them? That translation right there should have said, whatever you allow on this earth will be allowed in heaven. If you allow sickness to rule and reign, you're not going to get it. They have to allow that to happen to you. Do you know that? One of the most amazing things I ever read was Kenneth Hagin was learning about demons, and Jesus actually manifested himself right in front of him. And a little demon got in between them and was screaming and chirping and chirping and chirping. And he got desperate, and he finally said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And that thing hit the floor and took off. And Kenneth said, why didn't you do something about that? And Jesus said, I couldn't. And he said, I didn't hear you right. He said, why didn't you do something about that? And he said, okay, I couldn't. And he said, I know, I didn't hear you right. Jesus finally got it through to him and said, if you don't do something about the devil, he can't. One of the biggest cop-outs that the church world has is they run around and they say, well, God is sovereign. He is sovereign. No doubt about it. He is sovereign. 100%. And in his sovereignty, he gave you authority on this earth. Stop blaming God. It's not his fault. He is sovereign, 100%. And in his sovereignty, he gave you authority on this earth. What happens down here on this earth is more up to us than it is to him. And as far as he's concerned, he said, this is a blessed place. He said, you have the power. You have the authority. You have the blessing. You have the spirit. You have everything you need. You have the angels to go out and cause God's word to be performed on your behalf. And what are you doing with it? You say, well, God's sovereign and he's in control. Come on, man. He gave you the playbook. He gave you the weapons. He gave you everything you need. You need to be blazing, man. You should be blazing with both pistols. It's fun once you start. You got all these angels. I did a study on this one time. It wasn't an exhaustive study, but I figured out that each believer, there's like 144,000 angels for each believer. Not one guardian angel. And he doesn't have a bare butt and a little tiny bow. You got these big angels that have been sent to be ministers to the heirs of salvation. That's you. Ministers. Ministers serve people. These angels have been sent to be ministers to the heirs of salvation. That's you. Now, the Bible says that these angels hearken unto the voice of God's word. Notice it didn't say that the angels hearken unto God's word. It said they hearken unto the voice of God's word. That means when you take God's word and you put it into the atmosphere on purpose, using the name of Jesus, all of heaven stands to attention and all of these angels have a commission. I mean, you just gave them a mandate. You got them off the bench and you sent them out. Amen? Too many people are sitting there not saying anything. Wondering why the angels ain't doing something. Well, how do you know they're not doing anything anyway? You know, you could have been dead 15 times and you didn't even know it. The angels do stuff that we don't see. You know, sometimes, I don't know how many times I should have been dusted. Thank God. Thank God I didn't. But now we're in a position where we can take His word into our hearts and put it out in the atmosphere using the name of Jesus and give all these angels something to do. Think of the team that you have. How cool would it be for you to have 144,000 employees? Have you ever thought about that? All these angels going out there to do stuff for you. You should think on these things once in a while. Down here in verse 19, it says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." So there's power of united prayer. Anything that's asked for by any two in agreement, it shall be done. You know, you could get into such a lowly place at some point in time where the whole world seems like they're against you, but there's always three on your side. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They always agree with the Word. So when you take the Word and you use the name of Jesus, you got the three most powerful on your side. Regardless of who else may be against you, you have those three. When you take the Word of God in the name of Jesus, and He said His Word would not return to Him void, but it would accomplish what He meant for it to accomplish and the thing He sent it. Amen. We just have to remind Him of His word. Go into your prayer closet, wherever it may be, with your mouth filled with the word of God, and just return it to Him. You know, it's not going to hurt you to go in there and say, "God, Father, Your word says that You would supply all my needs according to Your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Your word says that by His stripes I was healed. This is mine. This is my heritage. It's my blood-bought right." You're not being arrogant. You're honoring the blood of Christ and His work on that cross. And you're bringing joy to your Father's heart when you remind Him of what He told you to remind Him of. You're doing what He said to do. Amen. Now, verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." There am I. It's a clear reference to the omnipotence and the omniscience and the omnipotence of Christ among believers. Consequently, it's proof of his deity. He's always there. She said he would never leave us nor forsake us, but here's a powerful thing. And this is what we see in the book of Acts. These guys, they had no split missions. They had the same cause on their heart. They had the full fivefold ministry in operation in that body. They had all of it. And the body of Christ was being added to daily. There was miracles daily. That's God's design. They came together in agreement on one thing. They agreed. They didn't have any other schisms amongst them. They just came together as one body. And then the spirit of racism got in there. Well, that's what the world calls it. And they're always fighting it. But it's not racism. I'm telling you. If they quit messing with racism and start addressing the spirit of division, they'd get some stuff done. You know, if it was racism, black people wouldn't kill black people. Bikers wouldn't kill bikers. Cowboys wouldn't kill cowboys. But it's not. I've seen where one black guy from one town went over to another town and they shot him. So what happened to the racism thing there? The spirit of division. See, the devil, he knows this verse better than the church does. That's why we have over 7,000 denominations in this country. He knows that he can keep the people divided and bickering back and forth and arguing back and forth and griping about this and griping about that. They're not going to be in agreement. And the country fell for it hook, line. This country fell for it hook, line, and sinker. When they put in "God we trust" as our national motto, you know what happened? E pluribus unum went out the window. I mean, out of many one. Out of many one. I remember stories of the immigrants that moved into our part of the country. You know, and one of the kids, these guys, these old guys, they wouldn't let none of their family speak Italian.